Good evening, everyone. It is certainly good to see everyone back here this evening. And first and foremost, I would like to thank God for this opportunity. And we know that with each breath of life, we have another opportunity to get it right. Amen. Amen. And secondly, I would like to thank Brother Brooks and Brother Stroud for sharing the pulpit with me and allowing me to stand before you all, as well as the leadership here. And I attribute a lot of my spiritual growth and my development here from a lot of men at this congregation. And I would also like to thank my wife and my kids for their continued encouragement and support.
Amen.
No one is harder on me than my family. And when I tell you that the kids will keep you in line, they will. My baby girl makes it a point to not let us lay our heads on our pillows at night before saying a prayer to God as a family. And Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way that they should go. That's true. And I see it, and it's a living testimony with Jenna right there. And at this time, I would like to welcome any visitors who may be amongst us today. It is my prayer that something is said will prick your heart, that you may ask, what must I do to be saved?
Amen.
And for our lesson this evening, my Father's business, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is basically about the young life of Jesus, but we're going to start around verse 40, and it reads,
and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him.
And now what's going on here is that Mary and Joseph, they would attend the Passover, the feast at the Passover in Jerusalem. And now when Jesus was about 12 years old, they went to attend this feast in Jerusalem. And now while they had fulfilled their days there, when they was returning back, they thought Jesus was along with them. But they didn't know that Jesus had stayed behind. And they thought that Jesus was in their company on their way back. Okay. And when they looked around, Jesus wasn't there. So they turned and they was asking their acquaintances. They was asking their kinfolk. They was looking for him and they couldn't find him. And when they found him not, when they couldn't find him, they turned back again to Jerusalem looking for Jesus. Now, as a parent, for those parents that are out here, can you imagine the anxiety, the worry that Mary and Joseph could have been experiencing at this moment when they couldn't find their son? Just imagine how they felt. See, back then, there was no automobiles. See, back then, there was no cell phones. So they couldn't send a text message or Amber Alert to look for this kid. So they had to backtrack to go find Jesus. Mm-hmm. And at verse 46, it reads,
it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing.
And see, once they have found Jesus after a few days, they saw him. Take note, yums. Listen to this. They saw Jesus sitting amongst doctors. Okay. Now, he was both hearing them and asking them questions. Yeah. And they were astonished by his understanding. Jesus was 12 years old at this time. They were astonished by his answer and his understanding. But Mary, they found him. And Mary asked him, why would you put your father and I through this? We were grieved. We were anxiously looking for you. And then pay attention to Jesus' response here in verse 49.
And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them.
Okay. Now, Jesus basically said, why were y'all so worried? You didn't know that I must be about my father's business?
Amen.
He basically was asking his mother, you know that I am the Son of God. You know that I am the divine. So you know that I must be in the protection of my God, that he would not put me in harm's way. Amen. So why were you so worried? And the lessons for the yums here is that you should always show respect, regardless of who you interact with, by the way you live, by the things that you speak, by the words that come out of your mouth, how you behave at school, what you post on your Instagram or social media. See, Jesus had enough knowledge at 12 to have those that were older than him pay attention to the things and the questions that he asked. So he was able to exemplify his spiritual knowledge, so he knew how to act at a very young age. So what is your excuse? Jesus did it at 12. So is that an excuse that you are too young to study your Bible? That you are too young to be an example to those that are around you? Jesus is our example.
Amen.
And he showed this at the age of 12 years old. So it's not your age. It's your desire.
Amen.
It's what you invest your time into. So if you are investing your time into posting disrespectful things on social media, you should in turn invest your time into studying the Word of God.
Amen.
Because people are watching you.
Amen.
And you can let your light shine by being respectful and displaying your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Jesus, it didn't stop there for Jesus at 12. He continued to live his life. He lived a life of obedience from a very young age.
Amen.
And as he grew, and we see that in John chapter 4, verses 34, Jesus spoke to his disciple when they was concerned about him eating. He says, my meat is to do the work of him that sent me and to finish his work. See, Jesus came and lived a life about 33 years, and he continued to do the work of his Father.
Amen.
See, we must acknowledge the faithfulness of Jesus.
Amen.
And he accomplished everything God intended for him to accomplish.
Yes, sir.
Now, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business.
Amen.
Must is defined as compelled to action by nature. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And by way of application, we can learn from Jesus because He left an example of the attitude we should have. He said, I must be. See, Jesus was unique. He was human, but yet he was divine.
Amen.
He was human as you and I in a physical sense. So he had the same emotional characteristics that we all may have. So Jesus wasn't no different as a man than us, but yet he was divine. He possessed the same physical and emotional characteristics as we all did. He was the Almighty God on earth, but yet he learned obedience. See, it was necessary that Jesus accomplish the will of his Father because it was through his shedded blood that we have hope at redemption. We are reminded in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But Jesus, God, it just didn't stop there. Jesus had to be obedient to the will of the Father. And in Philippians chapter 2, we learn that Jesus, we know that Jesus had to humble himself to be fashioned as a man. And when you humble yourself, that is to accept something that's not appealing. He had to humble himself to be fashioned as a man, giving up the riches of glory to walk this earth like you and I. So he had to humble himself and made himself of no reputation. He learned obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. See, we are not unique in the same way that Jesus is, but we are unique in the individual talents that each of us possess. And see, God has established for us certain things that we can do ourselves in the service of our Lord. Because on Judgment Day, we won't be able to say we didn't do this because of this person, or we didn't do this because someone said that. We won't be able to say that on Judgment Day.
Amen.
And in Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, it reads, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. I am responsible for myself. I am responsible for my work. And I cannot exalt in the work of another because we are individually responsible. You are responsible for your own work and your contribution in your service for the Lord. See, it's not just the responsibility of the leadership. You are not a part of it unless you are involved in it for the common good of the church. See, we have introduced the ARM ministries. We are in our second year of implementation, and it is our primary focus on this year.
Amen.
And see, if we all do a little, if we all contribute our own individual talents, we can accomplish a lot. See, the burden is just not on the leads or the co-leads. It is on each of us, and our responsibility and care for one another would drive us to do more for each other and in service of the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm reminded of Paul when he said, work out your own salvation. He didn't say sit. He didn't say sit and watch. He said, work out your own salvation. But I'm also reminded of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 1, when Nehemiah showed the concern and the care about the welfare and the protection of his people. Nehemiah cried. Nehemiah mourned when he found out the condition of his people. He fasted. He prayed. Nehemiah had a genuine passion for his people.
Amen.
Nehemiah mourned about the welfare of his people for months. It didn't stop after a day or two. Nehemiah mourned for months. And when he heard about their condition, he was moved to action. And as Christians, this is the attitude we should possess about one another. We should be concerned about each other's well-being. We should share in the happiness. We should share in the pains and the experiences. And this is why we should continue to encourage one another. And our ARM ministries gives us that opportunity to do just that. So my question to you is, how involved are you? And are you moved to action? So what is our responsibility? If there is a need and you can supply, it is your responsibility. In Galatians 6, verse 1, it is our responsibility to restore. In Galatians 6 and verse 2, it is our responsibility to bear one another's burdens. In Galatians 6 and verse 6, it is our responsibility to teach. In Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, it is our responsibility to live righteously and avoid sin. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, it is our responsibility to stand steadfast. In Galatians 6, in verse 10, it is our responsibility to do good to all, especially those in the household of faith. It is our individual responsibility to stay and be about our Father's business. But see, sometimes we tend to focus on the obstacles. We tend to focus on the obstacles instead of be driven by what our contributions could be to make it right. In Romans 14 and verse 12, the scripture says, we're going to have to give an account to God.
Amen.
See, we are going to be judged by what we have done. We are going to be judged by our service and our obedience to the will of our Father. I must be about my Father's business. In this phrase, there is a sense of urgency. We must do what we know is right. James 4 and verse 7, for them that know to do good and do it not, it is sin itself. And our relationship with God is a father-child relationship. We are made his children through adoption. Ephesians 1 and verse 5, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. See, not everyone would have this father-child relationship with God. Our relationship is contingent upon our belief and our obedience in doing the will of the Father. But what is it that we have to obey? Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that Jesus came to this sin-cursed world. He died for the sins of you and I. He died for us. He not only died, but he shed his blood. And that blood that he shed purchased his church, Acts 20 and 28. He purchased the church for us to have a place to do business. Mm-hmm. See, it didn't just stop there either. He rose again on the third day, and he commanded us in Mark 16, 15 through 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And see, Jesus, in turn, was obedient to that. He suffered being ridiculed. He suffered being beaten. So just think about the turmoil that he faced. While you are out there living how you want to live, that's like cracking the whip and digging the flesh with the flagellum out off of his side. Just think when you forsake the assembly, what he didn't mean nothing to me. Amen. Just think when you out there in the club or you posting inappropriate things on your social media, you are putting the nails in his hand. Just think, Jesus was human like you and I. Stick a thumbtack in your finger and see how it feels. So just imagine nails in your hands and nails in your feet. We must think about that sacrifice that Jesus gave so that we can have hope at eternal life. Who would die for your sins? No other, none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. We owe that to him. We owe our lives back to him. And upon that obedience, that we were dead to our sins, we realize that condition. We are buried with him in baptism. We rise and walk in newness of life as he rose, and he add us to his church that he purchased. And now we must be about our Father's business. But we can't do what we want to do and claim to be a child of God. Being about our Father's business is denying yourself. And in denying yourself, it takes an investment of your service, time, and effort. And I must be about my Father's business. You and each of you individually, yums, yams, ma'ams, Sams, yes, sir, we must all be about our Father's business. And in James 1 and verse 25, it says, be not a forgetful hearer, but be a doer of the word. So it's not about your lip service. You got to put it into work and action. And Jesus should serve as our example. Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We have to study to show thyself approved. Jesus spoke the Father's word. Jesus did the Father's will. What will you do? It's not about you individually. It doesn't matter what you think. We should live our lives and our deeds should be well-pleasing in the eyesight of our Father. And how should we spend our time? Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. He said, let this mind be in you. We first should be humble. How should we spend our time? Matthew 20 and verse 28, the Son of Man come not to be served, but to serve. We should spend our time serving. How should we else spend our time? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God. We should glorify God. How else should we spend our time? Mark 1 and 35, it says, rising up before day, he went out and prayed. How often do you pray? We should spend our time praying more. How else should we spend our time? 1 John 2 and 2, he was the sacrifice for our sins, the sins of the world. When was the last time you sacrificed something for God or for a friend or someone else? God wants your sacrifice. And God needs your attention if you want to make heaven your home. And how do we do that? And maybe you have not been offering yourself a living sacrifice to God, and you might not be a member of the Church of Christ, but as long as you have breath, you have another opportunity to get it right. See, God's spiritual business plan of salvation is Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must believe, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you must repent, Luke 13:3, except you repent, ye will all likewise perish. And you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8 and verse 37. And then you must be baptized, Mark 16, verses 16. You must be baptized into the church, the only church that you can read about in the Bible, and then he would add you to his place where only the saved is. At that point, and not until then, you can be about my Father's business. And now is the accepted time of salvation. And if you are here and you want to put Christ on in baptism, now is the accepted time of salvation. Or maybe you are a Christian and have fallen short. You still have life and time to get it right. And set your affection on things above. Now is the accepted time of salvation, as we together stand and sing the song.